Now tell me if you've done this before. You're driving on the highway, car tries to speed up to pass you, but you're annoyed. So instead of letting the car go in front of you, you speed up too, just to sort of block them. This is just one example of spite. Even though it often gets a bad rap, he says there are some benefits to spitefulness. You could join in at 800-642-1234. When do you feel yourself becoming spiteful in your daily life? Do you fight that urge sometimes? And what's it like when you're on the receiving end of good old-fashioned spite? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Simon McCarthy-Jones is an associate professor of clinical psychology and a neuropsychologist at Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. He's author of the book Spite, The Upside of Your Dark Side. Simon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Well, I think we all, when we hear the word spite, might have an idea of what that means, or we might think of a particular person we've known. What is your working definition of spite for the purposes of our conversation?
So, formally speaking, then, spite would be when you harm or inflict a cost on somebody else, but also harm or inflict a cost on yourself as well. One of the kind of the best examples, probably from literature, would be Captain Ahab, who is going to kill that white whale, whether it destroys him, his ship, his crew. That's a spiteful character.
And you talk about it as sort of the fourth behavior. There's cooperation, where you and I work together to help both of us. There's selfishness, where I harm you to help me. There's altruism, where I hurt myself a little bit. I pay a cost to help you. But then, yes, spite. It seems like it's inherently a negative thing. Just to make sure something bad happens to you, I'm willing to accept a cost for myself. But you say it's not always negative. Why not?
Well, very often it is negative, and I'm sure we can go into the reasons why it's negative. I suppose, first of all, just to say why it is particularly negative. I mean, if you think about what we as a species have as our core superpower, then you might well say that it's our ability to cooperate with each other, to create these win-win situations, which has really allowed our species to kind of to populate the globe. Now, when you look at spite seems to be the exact opposite of cooperation. It's lose-lose. So spite would almost seem to be almost like human kryptonite. It threatens to undermine our species' superpower, which makes it potentially deadly. Now, in terms of the benefits, well, there's a few of these. So one thing is that the spiteful person seems to have a bit of a competitive edge. So in one study, people were asked to just add a series of two-digit numbers together, and they did that. And then they were asked to then do it when there was a prize on the line. And what they found was that everybody improved once the prize was offered, but the spiteful people improved twice as much as the non-spiteful people. So that desire of a spiteful person to get ahead seems to give them a slight competitive edge.
A lot of your work looks at this really deceptively simple game that psychologists came up with called the ultimatum game, where we're splitting some money up. Can you tell us, first of all, how this game works?
Sure. So this game came out of Germany in the 1970s. And what happens is you go into the lab and you're told there's somebody in the next room and they've been given $10 and they've been asked to share some of it with you. And you get a little note through the door saying how much they're going to give you. So maybe they're just going to give you $2 and they're proposing to keep the remaining $8. Now you've got a choice. You can either take those $2 and leave and spend it, and that's real money in your pocket. Or you can say, no, I'm not taking that. And if you say no, then you don't get any money, but neither does the other player. So you've acted in a way that's made you both lose. So technically, you've acted spitefully. And that's kind of one of the core ways that particularly economists measure spite.
And economists, you write, were surprised by this, because if I'm the guy getting the $2, you know, yeah, maybe it's not fair, but this decision I make means I'm out the $2 or $20. The numbers change. The stakes get higher or lower. This seems to be contrary to what we'd expect from strictly economically maximizing humans, right?
Yeah, you think, again, from a kind of classical economics point of view, right. $2 is better than no dollars. So in theory, you should just take the money and be glad with your $2. And that's what many economists thought would happen. It turned out they were right, but just about the wrong species. Because if you get chimpanzees to play the game using raisins, then the chimps will take any raisins you give them. They're not fussy. They're not proud. They'll take those 2 raisins out of 10 and walk away and eat them. But we, we tend to behave quite differently.
And there's at heart of this maybe a sense of justice, and that points toward one potential benefit. If I'm dividing up resources, and I know that somebody can blow up the whole deal, I'm motivated to be more fair. And this might be why spite survived evolutionarily.
Absolutely, fairness does seem to play a key role. So again, if you feel that you're being treated unfairly, or the other person is getting ahead undeservingly, then you'll turn around and spite them, because the unfairness has triggered anger in you. It's triggered disgust. So when you look at people's faces when they're offered only $2, you see a typical pattern of muscle movements, which is associated with disgust. That anger and that disgust fuse together to form moral outrage, and you spite them. But what's kind of interesting is that, you know, normally we would be quite empathic creatures, so we wouldn't want to hurt somebody else because we'd feel their pain too. So normally empathy would stop you punishing the other person, or at least maybe deter you from it. But it turns out that if we see somebody else acting unfairly, then neuroimaging studies have shown that we tend, when looking at that unfair person's face, not to process it like we would process a normal face. We process it more like any other object. So literally, if somebody acts unfairly, our brains make them appear less human to us, which in turn then allows us to punish them.
Talking to Simon McCarthy Jones, author of the book Spite, The Upside of Your Dark Side. He's an associate professor of clinical psychology and a neuropsychologist at Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. All right, Simon, I pointed us toward the upside of spite there a little bit. It could be that we are trying to seek justice to prevent unfairness by behaving spitefully. But as you write, that's not the only thing that leads us to spitefulness. Sometimes it's coming from, I think what most people would agree would be negative places. Can you talk about that kind of spite?
Yeah, so it makes our species look good when we think, well, we'll spite fairness and that's why we do it. But there is a darker side. So if you give people the chance to spite somebody who's just fairly earned money on one of these economic games, then you'll find that if everyone can see what they're doing, they won't spitefully try and harm somebody who's fairly earned money and got ahead. But if you kind of give them the blanket of anonymity and allow them to kind of harm the other person in the dark, then you find that maybe around 40% of people will spite somebody and take money away if you give them a chance from somebody who's earned that money fairly. So even being fair doesn't necessarily harm you from spite. And things maybe get even worse. So it's been found that even if somebody is nice to you, helps you out, you can still turn around and spite them. This is called do-gooder derogation. And this seems to arise because if somebody is nice to us and other people can see that, then they get social brownie points for being nice. Other people think, oh, that's a nice person, I might want to work with them. And you see that happening, you think, right, I need to bring that person down because I don't want them to look better than I do. So even if somebody fairly gets an advantage, or even if someone tries to help us, we can still turn around and spite them.
It's something that you keep coming back to in the book that I think says a lot about us as humans. Sometimes we're motivated not just by our personal gain or loss in life, but our relative status, whether we're measuring it in points or money, or as you said, those social brownie points. We want to make sure we are relatively in a better position to another person. I'm not explaining that well. I think you could probably do a little better.
No, I think you're explaining it well. So psychologists would call that positional bias. So if you give folks the option between, you can have a salary, say, of 100 grand a year, and your neighbor can earn, say, 90 grand, so slightly less than you. Now, would you be happy with that? Or would you like to switch? So we'll now pay you a bit extra. We'll give you 110 grand a year, but we're also going to give your neighbor 120 grand. So now you're earning more, but your neighbor's earning more than you. So do you prefer to be earning the most you possibly could, or would you rather earn slightly less and be ahead of your neighbour? And you find a pile of people would much prefer to have slightly less, but to be ahead of their neighbour.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Mark, hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I'm driving down the highway, and I maybe in a 70-mile-an-hour zone, in the left lane, because the guy in the right lane is going 65. The guy behind me in the left lane is going 75, 78, 79, and he's on my bumper. And I refuse to go over the lane because I'm going faster than the guy in the slow lane. Does that mean?
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. And Mark bringing up, I think, a pretty classic experiment in spite, driving on American roadways, Simon. Could you talk about how our concepts of spite might apply to a driver in that situation? That guy's going too slow, and that annoys me. That guy's going too fast. I'm not going to let him pass me.
I guess it's, in those situations, what are you thinking the other person's intentions are? So that person's on your tail. Do you feel that they're acting unfairly by trying to get ahead of you, that the limits don't apply to them, that somehow they think that they're maybe superior to you, they're more important to you? And those kind of social valuations, again, trigger this kind of response in us, which makes us want to kind of bring that person down. So I guess in a way, this kind of goes back to our lives many thousands of years ago when we were hunter-gatherers. So if you look at hunter-gatherers today, you find, when the anthropologists do the work, that they tend to live in quite egalitarian societies, at least in terms of how men treat men. So in those societies, if somebody does something great, then the rest of the group don't applaud them. They try and drag them down. So if somebody brought home, I don't know, a whole mammoth for dinner, that person wouldn't get applauded. They get castigated because they're starting to look like they're better than everybody else. So in that society, we seem to have evolved kind of this pulling down instinct, where if anybody tries to get ahead or look superior, we will pull them down quite happily.
We're picking up our talk about the book Spite, The Upside of Your Dark Side. Simon McCarthy-Jones stays with us, author and neuropsychologist at Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. You can join in with your thoughts, maybe your experiences, at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Peter is with us in Summers. Peter, hi.
Hello there. What a fascinating topic. First, I have a comment. The example that you used about someone speeding up to cut you off from getting in their lane. Now, that's a perfect example of spite. And as a commuter myself, I see it on a daily basis. But I just wanted to make a comment that in Germany, if you do that, that's illegal. And a police officer can and will pull you over and give you a big ticket. So you are obligated to let someone into your lane. So again, a difference in cultural values, shifting from society to society. So I'm wondering, okay, so that takes care of the comment. My question is, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time wrapping my head around what the thesis is, because I'm a little bit confused. Because if we're talking about now being primates, we have certain characteristics that we shared in our evolutionary past, which conferred an advantage upon us. For instance, killing a rival's offspring. We don't do that as human beings anymore, because whatever tome you go to discern what a well-adjusted person is, whether it's the DSM-5, the Holy Bible, the Quran, I think we could agree as reasonable people that these vestiges of our primate past no longer serve us in a society. So I guess I'm having a hard time understanding what the author's thesis is, because he says there is an upside to this. And again, I'm not really hearing it, because I'll stop there.
Peter, thanks a lot for the call. Gave us a lot to work with. So I guess our evolutionary biology generating spite versus our upbringings, our well-adjusted personalities turning us away from spite. Simon, how do you split the difference?
That's a good question from Peter. There's a lot to be said there. So first of all, I suppose you could ask, like, are we maybe less spiteful than our ancestors? So there's some nice work by an anthropologist called Richard Wrangham, who basically argues that over time, we as humans have basically domesticated ourselves, in that we've rewarded people who were less violent, were less spiteful, and that over time, we've actually become a much less violent creature. So that's kind of a view over time. In terms of how spite manifests today, it seems because we've built institutions to do punishment, we've taken it out of the hands of individuals. There's kind of less of a need for individual spite because our institutions hand out punishment, which stops, you know, the Hatfield versus McCoy vendettas getting going. So we seem to have developed institutions which have kind of reined in our need to spite. And similarly, so I mentioned earlier this tendency we have to punish people who are generous to us, do good at derogation. You tend to find that kind of spite is much more prevalent in countries where the rule of law has really kind of has been diminished. So when we have law, we seem to be able to kind of minimize the amount of spite we have.
And Peter also brought up cultural differences. He gave a case of a legal difference in Germany, but you write that spite can work differently from culture to culture. Even that ultimatum game we talked about where people divvy up money, one society might do it very differently than others. What kind of differences do we see?
Sure. So an anthropologist called Joe Henrichs done some really nice work on this. He's kind of played the ultimatum game all over the world. And so, for example, when he played it with indigenous people in Peru, just near Machu Picchu, he found that basically nearly nobody turned down low offers. So even if people were offered a pittance, a couple of bucks, they would still take it. And it seems that was the case because in their culture, sharing was the norm. And so there wasn't the usual need to punish people. So they didn't feel the need to punish people. Similarly, or conversely, when he played the game with the Hazda people in Tanzania, he found that nearly everybody turned down an offer of about $2 out of 10. And that seems to be because in their culture, sharing really wasn't a thing. They viewed sharing as basically tolerated theft. And so in their society, there was this really strong punishment culture if somebody acted unfairly, and therefore that got deployed during the game. So yeah, we do see this variation around the world according to your norms of fairness in your society.
Thanks a lot for that call, Peter. We'll go to Mary next in St. Charles, Illinois. Mary, hello.
Hi, how are you? So I have a question about directing healthy versus unhealthy fight or competition in your children. My children both. One plays piano pretty well. She's been playing for years. Her younger brother is now taking up piano. And they are always and forever in competition in a way that is not productive. They will put each other down when the other one does something wrong. And I definitely have the feeling that they're trying to get a leg up in getting my praise or getting an adult's attention, but it's not a productive way to do that. Is there a way to direct our natural instincts for this stuff to be a more productive kind of a competition where it's not so negative?
Mary, thanks for the call. Simon, I don't know if you have specific parenting advice. What are your thoughts on that competitive spite among a couple of kids here?
Oh, I'm not going near parenting advice. but what I will say is that, so one little kind of fable I came across was a story about an American and a Russian who both have a neighbor who's got a prize winning cow. And the American thinks, right, my neighbor's got a prize winning cow. I'm going to work my backside off so I can get a prize winning cow just like him. Whereas the Russian just goes around to the neighbors and shoots the cow. So the question is, how do we respond to other people's achievements? Do we try and excel, which I think, frankly, is kind of part of the American way? Or do we have a culture where we just try and pull the other person down? So maybe it's trying to modify our reactions, trying to manage our anger in order to try and push ourselves to use that other person's achievement as an inspiration rather than as something to be torn down.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Simon, in our last minute or so, can you talk about, just having gone through this experience of writing about spite and analyzing it, what can we take home as we try to figure out when we're being spiteful and how to do it maybe in a less negative way?
Sure. So back in ancient Greece, Aristotle talked about how, say for anger, there was praise for somebody who got angry at the right time, in the right way, and for the right amount of time. I think with spite, if we can understand our spiteful side, then we can control it much better. So we don't have that hand of evolution kind of pushing us in the small of the back to do things that evolution might want us to do, but we don't. So I think by understanding spite, by understanding what triggers spite in us, and by understanding how we control emotions such as anger, we can kind of regain autonomy and decide how we want to act and let that guide us rather than the fickle hand of evolution.
We'll leave it there. Simon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Pleasure.
That was Simon McCarthy-Jones, Associate Professor of Clinical Psychology and a neuropsychologist at Trinity College Dublin in Ireland. He joined us today to talk about his book. It's called Spite, The Upside of Your Dark Side.